If you'll turn with me this morning to Numbers chapter 6, in just a moment we're going to read the priestly blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion with the Holy Spirit. That promise is only given to faithful Christians. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We need passages of Scripture to encourage us along our journey, and the priestly blessing is meant to do that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, that's Jesus, with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make you, look at this, make you perfect. God is able to complete us, to mature us, to give us everything that we need. Make you perfect in every good thing, to do His will, working in us. We have God's providential power over us, working in us. That's an encouragement. To do that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing. Look at verse 25. Grace be with you all. Amen. I want you to think about something for just a moment, and I was thinking about this in preparing the lesson. How many times have we read a book in the New Testament, one of Paul's epistles, for example, and when we get down there to the end, the benediction part, we just kind of read over that? Or what about the beginning of a book, the salutation? Paul's just kind of greeting some folks, and we just sort of read over that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, just one of many examples in Paul's epistles, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful, grace to you and peace from God. We just sort of read over that. Don't read over the salutations, that little part at the beginning. Don't just read over the benediction, that little part at the end. That's God immaculately giving us, bountifully giving us these beautiful things. And I got to thinking in preparing for this lesson, how often I just want to sort of read through that salutation, because we got to get on into the book, got to get on in there, the good stuff, the important stuff. Wait a minute. Grace from God. And so these are important sections. The beginning and ending often of Paul's epistles speak of this abundance of grace and blessing that God stands ready to give. Make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. And then the third statement that is made there in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up His countenance. This is a statement that speaks to the fact that the Lord stands ready to lift up His... It's really the idea of His attention and His character. A person's countenance is what he is mindful of, what his attention is on. When God came to Cain in Genesis chapter 4 after killing his brother, why is your countenance fallen? You see, one's attention, one's attitude, one's disposition at the moment. And so this is the Lord's attitude and attention is lifted up. He is wanting to bless us in a favorable way. Let's look at a few Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 4. And I've tried to focus this morning on the Psalms because many of them speak to these same things. Look at Psalm 4, verse 5. Again, it's always conditioned upon obedience to God. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. See, we've got to be faithful. We've got to obey His Word. And put your trust in Jehovah. And in Psalm 4, verse 6, many there are that say, who will show us any good? Jehovah, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than they have when their grain and their new wine are increased. In peace will I both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Jehovah, alone makest me dwell in safety. Turn with me to Psalm 34 and verse 15. God, when we obey His Word, as faithful Christians, He's going to put His special attention and favor on us. And do you know that He doesn't do that with everyone? There's 6 billion people in the world. There's 6 billion people. He's not doing that with all 6 billion people. He's doing that with you. Because you're faithfully following Him. And that's the beautiful thing. He's not lifting up His face to shine upon all 6 billion people. With a lot of them, His face is turned away. And He's not giving blessing and grace. He's giving wrath. So we're special. That's the whole point of the priestly blessing. That when we make the commitment to trust in God and follow God and obey God, we're getting these things that no one else is getting. And it's an encouragement along the way. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. That's the passage that's quoted by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Look at Psalm 42 with me, verse 5. Psalm 42, 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? There are difficult times in life. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my soul is cast down within me. There are times in life, death, hardships, persecution, temptation. There are negative times. There are difficult times. But we're going to come to God, Psalm 42, verse 1, like a deer pants for the water. And His countenance there, the help of thy countenance, you see. Look at Psalm 44 and verse 3. He's talking about how He drives out the nations and so forth. For they get not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou wast favorable unto them. When God's countenance is upon us, He favorably gives us what we need. Look at Psalm 89 and verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They walk, O Jehovah, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name do they rejoice all the day. In thy righteousness are they exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. This is the idea of our life being lifted up. God is going to lift us up so our example is good toward others, our character is good. The horn is lifted up. Speaking of a person's life, the countenance of God lifts them up so that they can be a light and a blessing to others. Are you that way? God stands ready to give us all of that. And faithful Christians today receive that same thing. The Lord's countenance, His attention and attitude that is special and favorable toward us, is the same for Christians. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to read two passages here that are just very beautiful passages. Again, sometimes they come from sections of Scripture that are often overlooked. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look right at the end of chapter 2, verse 16. We need to spend time with what we sometimes call doxologies. They are verses that praise what God has given us. We need to spend up time with that. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. Just slow down and take that bit by bit. As you're going through life, you have eternal comfort. It's not hit and miss. It's not sometimes there and sometimes not there. It's eternal comfort, and it's not just casual hope. It's great hope, the hope of eternity in heaven. Through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Almost every word there is a sermon. The beautiful things that God gives us because He wants to pay special attention to toward us. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and 10. What a beautiful blessing that we have, that priestly blessing. Look at 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, I love that. Grace is not coming from anybody else. He is the God of all grace. You're not going to get some grace from God, and then where He's deficient, somebody else is going to make that up somewhere else. He is the God of all grace, who called you unto His eternal glory in Christ. Look at this. After that you have suffered a little, we're going to go through difficult things in life. This God of all grace, look at it, shall Himself perfect, that's complete, establish, you're going to be grounded, you're not going to be moved and shaken, and strengthen you. Those are beautiful words right there. Perfect, establish, and strengthen you. That's why in the very next verse, Peter says, to Him be the dominion forever and ever. What a beautiful thing we have as Christians that not everybody in life has. And then last of all, and give you peace. The Lord stands ready to give us peace. And the Hebrew word shalom, peace here, is not just peace with regard to spiritual things, but in every aspect of our life. Well-being in health, with work, with our relationship with God, wholeness, health, prosperity. And this is not a prosperity gospel in the sense that when you come to services, God guarantees you a new car, a new home, or a new job. But it is prosperity in the sense of Matthew 6, God gives us food, shelter, and clothing, and the necessities of life. That's all a part of that word peace. A lot of times when we see the word peace today, we think absence of war. And that's true. And it's used in that sense. But in the Bible sense, it's used of the total well-being and wholeness of man. And God stands ready to do that. Turn with me to Psalm 16 and verse 11. God wants all of our well-being to be at peace. And even faithful Christians today. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, I want to read a few of these. The world can't give us these things. The devil certainly doesn't give us these things. God gives us these things alone when we're faithful to Him. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You look at those people in the world that are downtrodden and their life is messed up and they're living in a way that is hurtful and harmful. The path of life, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, that's what God gives the faithful Christian, and that's why we need to remain faithful to Him. Look at Psalm 29 and verse 11. Jehovah will give strength unto His people. Jehovah will bless His people with peace. That's not an empty promise. We've seen it over and over again in the Word of God where He did that. We see it even in our own life. We can look back at our own life and see these things where God has given us these things. There's no argument there. There's no question or doubting. We look back over our own life and we see these very things. God stands ready to give us. And so, in Ephesians 2, 14 and following, Jesus died to give us peace. And in Philippians 4, 4 through 7, when we cast our cares, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts, you see. Faithful Christians have that same promise today. Well, at the end of that blessing, turn back with me to Numbers chapter 6. Right before the blessing closes, it says that those who will put My name upon them, that is, we will identify with the Lord. The name of the Lord here is not just the letters that spell His name. It's not just the sound or the way the name is pronounced. The name of God in Scripture means all that He stands for and that when Israel will name the name of God, these priests shall put my name upon the children of Israel. It wasn't that they stood over them and just said the name or pronounced the letters. I am naming the name of God upon you. In other words, you are God's people and no one else. You alone belong to God. You have named His name. In passages like Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 23 bear that out. In other words, we're special. But it's conditioned again upon trust. God will put our name on us if we put our trust in Him, Psalm 9 and verse 10. Turn with me to James 2 and verse 27. We have the name of God upon us, and we need to live in a way that reflects that name. In James chapter 2 and verse 7, do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called. We have named the name of God when we're baptized into Christ, and there are those who blaspheme that honorable name, but we're going to live faithfully. And that's why in the book of John, when we're told, for example, turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, when we get to heaven, we're going to be named. It's the idea of identification. This is my family now in heaven. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. I will write upon him the name of my God, Revelation 3:12. And then look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, those who are in heaven. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. In other words, they are His people, and they alone, nobody else. Everybody else is in eternal destruction. They who have named the name of God are His people. And when we name that name, and we follow His word, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. What a beautiful thing. Let us live in such a way that we're thankful for the Lord's blessing and protection and approval and grace. And He lifts up His countenance and He gives us peace. Each day when you get up, God is going to give you that. Be thankful for that. But you know what? We also need to live confidently. When we go through difficult things in life and challenging things in life, we need to know that the Lord is up in heaven doing those six things. Those six things that are mentioned there, the Lord is doing that on a regular basis and He stands ready to help. That should give us comfort. That should give us confidence as we go throughout the day. And we have to deal with the various things that we have to deal with. But you know what? We need to live faithfully. Remember, God gave Israel a law. But He said, if you keep my law, then you'll get my loving kindness. And so it's conditioned upon faithfulness. And so each day, we need to live faithful. And if we need to remove some sin from our life, let's do that so that we can continue receiving these great blessings from the Lord. Before we close this morning with our invitation, if you'll turn in your psalm books to number 670, I would like for us to sing together this song based upon this beautiful passage in Numbers chapter 6. If you turn to number 670 in your psalm book, or if you'd like to just look up on the overhead, that'll be fine too. Beautiful song. This may be new to you, and if it is, we hope that as we learn it together and sing it together, it'll be something that you'll want to come back to in the future. This song is taken from Numbers chapter 6, and it mentions the six sentiments. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. And so those things that God wants to give us, if we live faithfully, let's sing about those things at this time. Number 670, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And be gracious, the Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen. Beautiful song. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. There may be someone who needs to be thinking about the importance of the blessings of God, and that outside of Christ you're not receiving those blessings. Outside of Christ you're not given those promises. And so that you need to come this morning and make your life right with God. If we've erred in some way as a child of God, if we have not followed His Word and obeyed His law, we're not receiving of those blessings. The Lord's face is not shining upon us. It's turned away from us. So we need to come back in some way. If we can encourage you to make your life right as we stand and sing this song of encouragement, why won't you come? The Lord stands ready to bless. Again, we've had lessons on the severity of God and the judgment of God and the wrath of God. And that is a side of Him that is a reality. But you know what? The Lord wants to bless us. That's what He wants ultimately. Have you thought about that? When He made a Garden of Eden and put Adam and Eve in that garden, what did God want to do with them? Did He want to show wrath and anger and severity? He wants to be a God that blesses. That's ultimately what He wants for His people. He's not up in heaven looking for opportunities to be mad and angry and cruel. He's looking for opportunities to bless. And if we'll bring our lives into conformity to Him, He'll certainly do that. What a comfort and a consolation. So I leave with you this morning that priestly blessing that is upon all of us if we'll live faithfully. And if you need to make your life right in some